This episode is brought to you by Bumble. So you want to find someone you're compatible with, specifically someone who's ready for a serious connection, totally open to having kids in the future, is a tall, rock-climbing Libra, and loves rom-coms with vegan pizzas on Tuesdays just as much as you do. Bumble knows that you know exactly what's right for you. So whatever it is you're looking for, Bumble's features can help you find it. Date now on Bumble.
Hey, everybody, it's your girl, Claudia Jordan, and we are back with TGIF. We're here to spill the tea and break down the biggest headlines in the news and on social media. Now sit back, relax, and get ready to sip on this hot tea. Please welcome Al Reynolds. What's up, Al?
What's going on, Claudia? What's today? Thursday?
I think so. I don't know anymore because I'm on no sleep. And, of course, please welcome Armand Wiggins. Hello.
Hey, what's going on, Claudia? How are you?
I'm good. Look at all the colors tonight.
I'm loving the color.
Okay. What team is that? San Diego Chargers? Weren't they like blue and yellow?
Right. San Diego Chargers. Yep, you're right.
Okay. How y'all feeling tonight? How y'all doing? What you drinking? What we doing?
I'm definitely drinking. I had a great day, Claudia. You know, I went to the Essence 17th annual Black Women in Hollywood luncheon today. And you know, you were there last year, lighting up the carpet. We missed you this year, but the women, the black, beautiful women lit that carpet up. And so it put a high in me. So I'm still on that high and I can't wait to share that moment with our soulmates soon.
Okay. Now that's a great thing to go to. Mm-hmm. Lots of fun. All right. Great. Great. How was your day today, Armand?
It was fantastic. Okay. I'm over here sipping too. Okay. Cause we love a good day. I'm feeling real good today.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going out to Michael Blackson's comedy show tonight. Him and his girlfriend, fiance Rod are in town. So I'm gonna save my liquor for then, but I'm sure y'all have enough liquor between the two of y'all for our show tonight. So let's go ahead and get into it. All right, y'all. People saying Kimora Lee Simmons is shading her ex-husband, Russell Simmons, after she posted an IG story that said, "What is this I'm seeing in the news today? LOL. Y'all some wild boys for real, for real." But then she posted, "Not by my bed. LOL." Many people caught on to her dissing Russell Simmons, who posted about Usher visiting him and sitting by his bed when he woke up. Now, what do you think about this shady post? And do you think Kimora will ever do a tell-all on Russell Simmons? Al, go ahead.
Hey, you know it. Listen, Russell and Kimora were together for, you know, more than 20 years, but married for 20 years. And is it me or does it seem like Kimora just can't wait to let some cat, I don't know whose cat, out the bag? She always insinuates on stuff as it relates to Russell, as it relates to Diddy, as it relates to, you know, L.A. Reid and Leona Cohen. It's just like, I can't wait till her tell-all book comes out, because that woman right there, she knows where the bones are buried. And all of them. Now, this is the interesting part, though. Should poor Russia call her straight with this? And I'm wondering what she really meant by that, not by my bed. What do you think, Armand?
I don't know. I just feel like, listen, can we find out for once and for all if Usher is gay or not so I can figure out if I can shoot my shot? Because, I mean, Jesus, I mean, at least I want to know, because it seems like that is the going thing in Hollywood. All the women feel like Usher's gay and all the men seem to love Usher around. So I'm trying to figure out, is 1 + 1 = 2 here? And if so, invite me to the party, just not the Diddy party.
So wait a minute. Are you saying gay, or he could possibly be bisexual? He's married. He just recently married a woman.
Well, according to Keke Palmer,
I don't know if gay would be how he identifies.
Oh, well, maybe not. But if you ask women, you sleep with a man, you're gay. Whether you're bisexual or not, gay is gay to them. So I would just say, you know, maybe we'll go bisexual for you, Al, but gay for me.
Not for me. Well,
we wouldn't want to offend the bisexual community tonight.
Let's ask our resident heterosexual female.
Okay.
What would you like to know?
Is a man that sleeps with men or women considered gay or bisexual? Or are you gay?
We would think so, yes.
You would think he's gay?
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Yeah. We have some comments here for fun that I need Kimora to tell us the tea. Leah said she knows something we don't. Melina Salam said Kimora's ready to talk. She is ready. Rosemary Watson said she should let it go. And Lady T, and I agree with this, Kimora is not that stupid. She saw what happened to Kim Porter. You know, that was one of her best friends, and I think she definitely wants justice for Kim Porter, and I think she would be definitely here for the empire coming tumbling down. Not that that's an Usher thing or a Russell Simmons thing, but she definitely knows a lot. And I see people, like, always kind of pressing certain women that they know may know some stuff. You know, we see it all the time here. Say something, asking about things that, if y'all heard the rumors already about people disappearing and how some people's deaths are under need to be under investigation, should we be so pushy for them to come out and tell us what we that could probably endanger their lives? Like, there's a lot of secrets that these guys do not want out, and there's a lot of powerful men that could actually make things happen. Cassie told us all about it. You know what I'm saying? So I think some people give us as many, they put a little breadcrumb out there and give us as much as they can tell us. And it's up to us to kind of connect the dots. But she knows that she can't say so much. She doesn't say but so much. She got Diddy and Russell that she's been kind of speaking on.
So but when is a good time? So, like, if you think about it, when does a Kimora Lee speak out? Like, you know, Russell's what, 65, 69? Old. Like, does he have to die first? Or, like, how does that work? When do you think is a good time for her to say something? Or does she keep gaslighting?
I don't even know if it's gaslighting. I think she's dropping hints as much as she can. I think when other people come out and you feel safe, like, okay, for example, anyone that's been for real in the business and been around those people, been hearing about the Diddy T, a lot of that stuff was not new to us, right? We hadn't heard it, but no one wanted to be the first one to kick that door open. It takes a lot of bravery or stupidity, right? Mm-hmm. Or lots of backup. Once Cassie was brave enough to do that, look how many people came out afterwards. Mm-hmm. Those didn't just happen. Those are people that have been holding on to out of fear, but they saw, okay, and there's safety in numbers. Let's all say something. I bet you if more people start coming out and saying these things, then, you know, you'll get more people feeling safe. Because if you're close to power like that, you've seen some things happen, y'all. Mm-hmm. People disappear. Cars get blown up. People have go into comas. People get drugged. They have aneurysms. All that stuff happens. And if you think it's all from natural causes, I'm sorry to tell you, it's not. It's not. T. Thomas said, people said Prince, but we really didn't know. So Usher isn't gay in my book, unless he says it himself. Lady T said, as far as Cassie goes, when she cashes her check from Diddy, she needs to take her children, her husband, and disappear. And I'm telling you, Hollywood world, it was scary. I live in Texas. Kanye West is now rebranding his school, Donda Academy, that was shut down after multiple lawsuits stemming from poor academics and unsafe working conditions. He has now changed the name to Donda Ray Academy and moved it to the San Fernando Valley inside a warehouse. His prior school wasn't accredited. Do you think Donda Ray Academy will have a chance of succeeding, Armand?
Kanye's my guy, but no, I think a little bit of this is performative. I don't really think they're really learning much there. And I think it'll have the same results. I don't really think Kanye West, and I'm a Gemini, but the focus isn't really there for the schools. I think he just does stuff because he has power and he likes to try to speak truth to power. However, this is one of those things that's just a little bit obnoxious, in my opinion. And I think that it's a waste of time and resources. So I don't think this will last.
Okay. Al, what do you thoughts?
You know what it is? I think it's the toying with children's education. And it's toying using, you know, his need and desire to be in the media or to be in the spotlight. Everybody know not only is it not accredited, but the curriculum is not recognized by the city, by the county, or by the state. So what are these parents actually doing by re-enrolling their students in this type of school? Like, what are they actually getting out of it? And for me, it sounds like they want proximity to his celebrity. And I don't think that's fair to the kids. Now, like, if they have a talented kid that's in music or something, maybe they can go to an after school program there, or, you know, try to work a relationship with Kanye that way. But putting your kids in a full curriculum just to be celebrity adjacent, to me, is abuse of a parenthood on a child.
What would make you think in your world as a parent that Kanye West is the person I think of when I think of education? He's right. Good at marketing. He's good at the music stuff. But when have we ever known him to be like a scholar, an academic? And then the fact that the school is being locked down because of a close, because of low grades, he showed you already that's not his priority. It's a thing. It's like when the Mean Girls do the women's empowerment brunch. You know what I'm saying? Like, we know it's a good look. Oh, women's empowerment, but you all hate each other. It's true. We all know the woman that everyone hates, or is a mean girl, a bitch, posts the women's empowerment, and it's like, right. Oh, it's so good for the, it's fake, y'all. It's fake, and we can probably name up a few people. I don't think we all can think of someone like, yep, oh yeah, that one too. Like, it is fake. It's Kanye is getting so far away from what made him great, his talent. And it's become gimmick. All we talk about is his wife with a talk about him with his wide butt on a boat and his things. Like, when's the last time we talked about a bomb song by Kanye West?
Right.
You know, or a line that didn't look like, you know, it came off of Skid Row. Okay. And Nay said it's better than kids not going to school at all. I'd rather them go to public school.
Yeah.
And JW said these parents are all clout chasing. Yeah, like Al said. And Ansel D'Angelo said, ain't no good parent in their right mind sending their school to Kanye West's warehouse school. Mm-hmm. And them kids look like they're in a cult by Kanye. That's what Liberty's mom said. I agree.
Like, his own kids don't even go to the school.
Good point.
What are you learning in the school? What are you learning? Seriously. What are you learning?
Fashion? I don't know.
And silence fell over the land. All right. Ali Lottie, the ex-girlfriend of rapper Juice WRLD, who passed away in 2019 after an accidental drug overdose, is coming under fire. She reportedly posted their sex tape to her OnlyFans account months ago. And now she is selling his designer clothes on the platform. Is inflation that bad that she's got to do all this? Or do you think she sees it as an easy way to come up? Armand, what do you think?
Well, this just basically will show you she never loved the guy. You know what I mean? Whether, you know, you needed the money or not, there's just certain things you wouldn't do. So exploiting your sexual activities for OnlyFans and then selling some of his perishables, it's just crazy. I mean, you at least keep something sacred to your heart if you actually really care. But, you know, a lot of people, they don't really care because they feel as though, listen, he went and got himself a nice porcelain snow bunny. So why should they feel a way that now you've died and now she's selling everything?
Yeah.
Am I the only one that's grossed out by the fact that he's not alive and you're out here selling a sex tape between you and a guy that's no longer alive? Like, to me, that just is very disturbing, and it's got this feel of demonic to it. And it also screams thirsty, broke, and opportunistic. And yeah, I said it because that's exactly how it speaks to me. And like Armand said, look, she doesn't look like any of us. Look at all the other Black rappers who were with Black females. You didn't see them doing this. You didn't see Young Dolph's girlfriend doing this. You didn't see King Von's girlfriend doing this. And you didn't see PNB Black's girlfriend doing this. So I think it speaks to the opportunistic behavior of certain people and certain races of people, if you ask me. I think it's inappropriate. And in all fairness, the family should try to have it taken down or repossessed as it relates to the clothes.
Lauren London would never. That's right. A happy woman. You know, Omarosa did this when Michael Clark Duncan died.
Really? Right away,
he had an estate sale and the family wanted things from his estate. They were like, please let us have some cologne or watch. She's like, nope. Had the estate sale and sold all the stuff out. And I thought that was really tacky. You know, I don't rock with her. And
that's sad to hear.
It is, because, you know, like, the family wanted like something to remind them of her. And this isn't alleged. This is what I know. The family has reached out to me and told me this. I think this is tacky. It makes me question, did you ever love the person? That goes for both of them, actually. You know, like, what are you doing? But it seems that this woman, from what I've looked up about her, major drug problem. They were both on camera, doing drugs, doing perk 30s and cocaine. So this screams someone that has a chemical dependency on drugs. And, you know, she's making crackhead decisions, like. Not saying she's a crackhead, but she's making, you know, those kind of moves that someone that needs money for a fix, allegedly, would do, you know, because that's not something that in your right mind, if I'm mourning the death of my man that I loved, I'm not going to be in a rush to put his stuff on Poshmark. Okay. I'm not doing it. Like, I'm going to be like, no, I'm going to hold on to everything. And the sex tape is extremely cringe.
Of a dead man.
Come on.
I called him PNB. I mean, I called it PB Rock. It's PNB Rock, y'all. Sorry.
That's that old man thing. See, Armand, that's
you. I would have knew that. You don't know who PB Rock is?
No, I said PB Rock. I know, I heard myself say PB Rock. You know, sometimes I'm like, oh. Anyway. You know, I have a learning disability, but that's
not the time. Oh, the old learning disability. Oh, I have one too. Yannick Jacob says, where's his mama? She needs to snatch her up. And SZA Rahman said, if she really wanted the coin, she should go, she should hold on to it for at least a decade and then cash in. And Sheenie Beanie said, it's very broke behavior.
Mm.
And Coco Antoinette said, where is the family? Why does she have all of his things? I believe they lived together and that's why she had access to it. So
right.
It's giving addict vibes, allegedly. Coming up, find out what Bambi lied to Lil Scrappy about. And later, Natalie Nunn gets caught sneaking around on her husband. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to TGIF. Let me do a quick little cleanup. When we talked about Kimora Lee spilling the tea, I wasn't implying that for sure Russell or Diddy would, in fact, hurt her. I'm sure they wouldn't be happy about what she said, and they would take her off their Christmas card list, probably. Lil Scrappy went on IG Live with his mother, Mama D, and revealed that his ex-wife Bambi lied about her real age. He claims he found out on their third anniversary. Take a look.
When I found out who Shawty really was, I just stayed quiet. I shed my tears because I was like, dang, I ain't know that really exists, that people lie about who they are. I ain't know that really exists. I thought that was like, and marry people, and that, like, I seen that on movies, mama.
How would you feel if you were deceived like this by your spouse about their age? All right, Al, what do you think about this?
Oh, come on, Scrappy. Now, Scrappy, you my dude now, but come on, man. I think you're just doing it. Okay, you got to be doing it just for television, just for, you know, ratings or something, because, A, you're a grown-ass man. Not only did you marry her, and to get a marriage certificate, everybody has to put their date of birth on the marriage certificate. That's A, so you should have seen it then. And then after you laid down with her and created all those babies, you should have seen their birth certificates. You had kids with her, and so the date of births are on the birth certificates. So this is all cap, if you ask me, or you simply aren't paying attention. And you being run game on, son. Which one is it? Because I refuse to believe that you didn't see your marriage certificate and you didn't see the kids that you created with her birth certificates to not know what her real age is.
T. Thomas said all women lie about their age. Armand, what do you think about this?
I was going to say, I feel like he's being a little bit dramatic because at some point, like, what? She's only like 3 or 4 years older than him, maybe 5 at max. And I just feel like perhaps... I feel like most women will lie about their age, and probably she probably did it because, you know, women being perceived older are sometimes not looked at as desirable. So perhaps he would have judged her because she was older than him. And so if he didn't know how old she was, then he still was able to, you know, like her the same. Sometimes when you know how old a person is, you become uninterested. So she probably was trying to protect herself and give herself a fair shot at the relationship. So I think he's been a little bit dramatic right now.
Now, y'all know I always got a story for everything because at my 50 years old, I've lived a life. I had a guy that lived with me and he lied about his age and his real name. And one day he left his wallet on my couch and I opened it up and his age, but he was like a struggle rapper. So he thought it would help him if people thought he was like 7 years younger. And he got mad at me and told me, I can't be with someone I can't trust. You looked at my wallet. I was like, you created a whole... struggle rapper. Anyways, I just kind of find it funny.
I can't believe that people nowadays do not look at their person who they procreate with, person that they marry, and person that they move into their house license.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you serious?
Unless the person goes out of their way to really hide it. Like, I've seen it. You know what I mean? Like, but I don't see. Yeah, they got married. They do have to.
No passport. No driver's license. Nah, I'm sorry. If you're moving into this house right here where I live, if I'm marrying you and if I'm having a kid with you, I'm definitely going to see your birth certificate, your license or something. It has to happen. And listen, women nowadays, y'all are such detectives. This blows my mind that you guys wouldn't figure this out from guys that you're dating. Like, I know women that are like, they run background checks before they even go on the first date.
Ah, but some of these con men are good. Coco Internet says, my ex lied to me about his age. I was 23. He told me he was 25. Come to find out he's really 31. That's creepy. Even Stevens says all women lie about their age, but not to their husband. And Lady T said, damn, Scrappy, how much lean was you sipping on? You didn't know how old that woman was.
That's Coco, a good one.
Coco Antoinette said, I never lie about my age. To me, it's a big flex when you look younger than you actually are. Yeah. Arnold Norfleet, was he older or younger than you, Claudia? He was younger than me by a couple of years, but I actually was more comfortable with him being the older age, like his real age. But he wanted to be a rapper. And since then, like a lot of the artists that are on some of these reality shows, a song has never come out. You know, those people that are always in the stew, but nothing comes out anyways. Mm. Whatever. Seems like someone took the mannequin challenge a little too seriously. Alicia Framis, who once dated a mannequin, is making headlines again. This time she is scheduled to marry her fiance, who is a hologram, this summer. His name is Alex, spelled AI for artificial intelligence, Lex. Do you think she will have a successful marriage? Or will it end up in divorce, Al?
Oh, this is the craziest mess I've ever seen in my life. What am I supposed to say? This is great. Oh, this is awesome. This is cool. This is refreshing. This is interesting. Get out of here with this mess. You're talking to yourself. This is basically having an imaginary friend. So maybe if it works for her, it makes her happy, and she's going to live happily ever after, skip on down and through those daisy lands with your daggone imaginary friend and your, what do you call that, hologram, baby? It's all yours.
Come on. What do you
think? I think this is so new, now, next, and progressive.
I knew Armand would like this.
I'm here for it. Listen, live in your truth, baby. It personally doesn't work for me because I'm very affectionate. I need some kissing, some touching, some rubbing, some hugging. Like, you don't get any of that. But listen, there are people that live by themselves. There are people that will be by themselves for the rest of their lives. You know, this is like having cats. You know what I mean? But you have your own.
Hold up, not too much on cats. Not too much on cats.
Oh, tell me why you have cats. Well, you know, you get what I'm saying. Just kind of having a house full of pets and no one else there. That's what I'm saying. But this is like that, a form of that now. But now you can have like a makeshift boyfriend. I'm here for it. If it makes her happy, listen.
But it's not, there's nothing that she can touch. It's like, crazy. That's the part now. If it was a blow up doll, if it was like, a, you know, what can we give her? I don't even know what else we can make it, but like a rag doll or something, you know, like a Cabbage Patch Kid, even name a Cabbage Patch Kid and tote it around like your boyfriend. But a hologram, you can't even touch it. You can't kiss it. You can't, I mean, there's no mutual nothing. This is crazy.
Does it talk to you?
Yeah, I think it does. You know, this is why I said the other night how sick I am of the world. Weirdness, marrying plastic dolls, holograms. I mean, what is next? Marrying a car, making love to a toaster. Like, everyone's just on some weird stuff. I want us to get back to, like, normality. I don't know. Date somebody.
It's gonna be one day that thing lock her in the bathroom and strangle her. Then the world's gonna be gagging.
Whispered in her ear and told her to jump out the window. Or some crap.
While she sleep.
My hologram told me to go rob the neighbors.
Jesus Behavior said, "What in the iRobot is going on here?" Rajan Alexander said, "Ain't that much loneliness in the world?" And Bibe said, "Healthy delusion. In prison, persons should have access to hologram belonging." And Ty said, child, the way dating is these days, I'm about to build me a man, hell. Oh, and Bambi 310 said, Claudia, the cat lady. It's only two. You're a cat lady when you get to four, not two. Two is
Is that what they say?
They be trying to. Two is
how
long.
How many cats you got?
I have two, sir. Oh, two. I will have you know. Exactly.
They run that house, baby.
They do.
Walk in that house. They're like,
18 and 8. 7. You? Yeah, 18 and 8. Yes. All right. A doctor recently told a patient not to shave or wax her vagina to let it grow out, the hair grow. But it gets worse. Take a look.
And if you do have hair and your boyfriend doesn't like it, ask him if he wants to make love to a baby, because that's what it's like.
All right, well, the doctor's pedophilia comments inappropriate. Oh, was she just trying to make a joke, Al?
I'm going to give this doctor a pass and say that she was trying to make a joke, but it just didn't land right. But either way, it was inappropriate, right? I think she should have stayed to the science of why you shouldn't cut your hair or take it down to bald. But, you know, don't try to do those type of analogies, and definitely not with a woman of color.
Okay, Armand.
Yeah, I don't think she was trying to be, you know, like, I don't know. I don't think she meant much by it. I think she was trying to be funny, but I think the joke didn't land. However, I feel like you should shave, okay? And I feel like, you know.
Bald?
Well, I'm not a woman. I don't have that. And so I don't know, but I know you should shave a little bit. Maybe not bald. I don't know. But, you know, I like my bald.
You like what?
But listen, no more drinking.
Wait, are you talking about?
Oh, what?
You can make it bald. Why not have it bald?
So you wax or shave your taint? Is that what you're saying? Your booty crack?
It just depends on the occasion.
Okay.
Yeah, I feel like there's levels to it. So it's a seasonal thing. You know what I mean? Some you might want to be a little furry. Some you might want to be smooth.
Mm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
I did laser years ago, and I like how it feels. It makes sex enjoyable, but it did in the beginning, if you think about it, it is kind of weird because that's what you are looking like before you go through puberty. So I get what the doctor was saying. She was making a joke that used to be okay to say a few years ago before we became so woke. Vision deflector side said people are so dramatic. She's not being weird. Beryl Robinson said, I had an emergency room tell me that before to never shave. And Sunny Lovin said that doctor lost her damn mind. Oh, Christina R said, I have a full bush. Don't judge me. Al, you sometimes play with the ladies, I believe. So yeah. Do you like, how do you feel about if you get friends?
Now I have a brother who's one of his fetish and it turns him on. For me, lot, because as long as they keep it clean, there's not a whole bunch of smell in there, like I could get with it. But I like it kind of little trimmed, and maybe, you know, take it all the way down once but let it grow back, you know, just like for a couple of times, because I, you know, you can see everything. I like the fact that you can see everything.
Yeah.
But I also feel that I hear that hair is also a protective mechanism, right? It's supposed to stop dirt and germs and all that stuff from entering the vagina.
Everywhere you have hair is supposed to be by for nature. I mean, it does protect. It's there for a reason, a biological reason. But, you know, we want to be cute. And
I just don't think it's fair to make somebody feel like if they like their girlfriend to be bald or a woman wants to be bald, you have to equate that to being like liking little girls. That's not probably what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I like a smooth area. Maybe some men, if they go down in that area, they don't want hair in their mouth. They don't. There's things that, you know, or maybe like some women, they don't like all that. They like to feel, they feel sexier when it's bald.
I think porn is what swayed me to wanting to see it bald.
Okay. Well, we're going to move on now. Coming up, Natalie Nunn gets caught sneaking around on her husband. And later we have an update on the tragedy that went down on the set of Ross. We'll be right back. Welcome back to TGIF. All right, y'all. Natalie Nunn has gotten herself caught up in a cheating scandal after she admitted to creeping around with Curtis Golden from Bad Boys Club. However, she claims she was on a break with her husband, Jacob Payne, at the time. A couple of videos were leaked showing Natalie getting real cozy with Curtis. Do you think it's appropriate to sleep with other people when you're on a break from your spouse? Or is it okay? Is a break, Armand?
You know, Natalie, you know, I love Natalie and I love all of them over there at Zeus, but Natalie went live and she talked about this and she was ranting about it, but she didn't say anything. And I was really trying to ask her, what does that mean to go on a break? So from what I gather from it, she felt like, you know, she was busy and she's been in a relationship with her husband for over 13 years. And so she needed a break. And, you know, to me, that sounded like, I'm the breadwinner now, and this is important, fellas out there. You know, when your woman is the breadwinner, I don't feel like they respect you as much anymore. So then she's on the road, she has all this money, she has this newfound fame. Now she has younger, hotter guys around, and so now all of a sudden she needs a break, and so she's sleeping with a new guy and disguising it as I needed a break. Now, I kind of feel like this wasn't a break. You were outside having a hot girl's baddie summer, and you got your coins up, and your husband was there with the baby, and you were bored, and you were living your hot mama fantasy. And so I don't know. I don't think this was a break. I think she was doing what the boys do when they have rich, when they have money.
All right, Al.
Hey, hell, Will and Jada did it, and no one's questioning it. Hell, she took one of her son's best friends, a good friend, who used to come over the house and hang out, and snuck him in her bedroom. Oh my God, allegedly. Well, it's not allegedly. Well, you know, snuck him in the bedroom, allegedly part. So, I mean, I just feel like this. I love Natalie, too. I'm obsessed with the programming over there. It just seems to get worse and worse and worse and more entertaining. And I think it's the timing for me. I think that, you know, all of this is coming out. I think it's a little bit convenient that it's time. I think this is also a mixture of her behavior that she's probably not doing anymore, but it's making the right timing for a good conversation to promote her, all her projects over at Zeus and Zeus. That's how I really feel about it. I think she's probably back with her husband now and they're figuring some stuff out.
You know, I'm all about monogamy and all that if I'm in a relationship, but this is one of those conversations where I'm like, you know, had this been an NBA player, NFL player, you know what you signed up for. This person's wealthy. They can have anybody that they want. So you know what? She is doing what the people that got their bread have and that the breadwinners have. And it is a break. It is a break because you are actually on live and stuff like that. Like she's on video doing that. So I think if you were sneaking around, you wouldn't be doing all that. I think you'd be like not probably filming yourself kissing somebody else. To me, that shows she was, hey, she's standing on what I'm doing. I'm okay with this. I don't have a conversation with my husband. He knows what it is, and that's what it is. So, you know.
I think that was a little irresponsible, though, because she didn't want that to come out. She had no idea that was coming out. The guy sent that to a former cast member that had got fired. And Stunner Girl ended up putting that information out because he ended up leaking that to her because he wanted to expose the relationship. Apparently, according to Natalie Nunn, he was trying to extort her for a Rolex. And because she didn't buy him that, he wanted to leak out their relationship.
Right.
I understand that. I do know the part about
I think Natalie Nunn, you're making money right now, sweetheart. You're the breadwinner. You're bringing in quite a bit of cheese. This is evidence that your husband can use if he wants to divorce you and get some money. He can use this to the courts to show your infidelity. So just be very mindful of what you step into and say that you did it. It's so interesting. We talk about this all the time. These young people are out here in these streets giving the cops evidence. This is giving the lawyers evidence to side with the husband when it comes to the divorce. So just think about it moving forward.
I do know about the whole Stunner Girl thing on mine about that was the one that put it out. But I get that. But like, there's a difference between someone leaking video of you over here, like kissing someone as opposed to like, she knew someone was filming that. And I just feel like if I'm married, I don't want my husband to know, I would never be like, you couldn't even get me in those kind of videos. So I'm like, either, I don't know, are you that arrogant or that comfortable? That's what I want to know, you know?
Well, but I don't know. And that's when it's dangerous, when you're that comfortable.
D. Mitch agrees with you, Claudia. D. Mitch said, to kiss on a live when on a break, very irresponsible.
But I do agree that if you both say you're on a break, this I think a break is a break from the rules of your relationship. I would think that because what's the point of taking a break if you can't talk to other people? But I guess everyone has their own rules of what a break is. For me, I would say a break because I wanted to be with someone else.
I don't know if it was really a break because she was also online saying how her and her husband were going to go to be at the game that night, kissing and hugging, and she was at the game courtside by herself.
Well, Joseph Stafford. Joseph Savage says, I think both dudes are DL, quiet as kept.
No.
So, Armand, is a DL man gay?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Okay. He's secret.
Not bisexual.
Listen, Al, he's gay.
Okay.
Bisexual is still gay.
I feel like bisexual is still gay, too, if you're a man. It's no shame.
Just own it. Live in it.
Wait a minute. The two of you can't disrespect. Now, we don't disrespect the trans. We don't disrespect the lesbians. We don't disrespect the gays. We are a letter in the spectrum. So don't disrespect mine, please. Let's not go down that route tonight.
Let's just be honest, though. Most bisexual men like men more. Like, let's just be real.
Oh, no.
I've never met a bisexual man that likes women more.
No, no. You really don't know what bisexuality is all about.
Jess Hilarious.
Okay.
There's no winning this right now. Jess Hilarious recently shared her regrets over the joke she made about Chadwick Boseman before she knew he was sick. Before his death in 2020, Chadwick shared a video of himself that revealed his immense weight loss. Jess Hilarious assumed he was just losing weight for a film role and made fun of him for the new thin frame. What are your thoughts on this, Al?
I really like it. I like the fact that Jess Hilarious addressed it. I thought it was honest, and I thought it was very vulnerable, and I thought it was insightful, especially because she's a comedian, and a lot of comedians hide behind being a comedian to be rude, nasty, and disrespectful. I just thought that this really shows the maturity of her as a comedian. And to be honest, I would like to see comedians stop making fun of people and do a better job at storytelling, right? Because you never know what people are going through in life these days. And that's why you're seeing certain people, you know, jump on stage and fight people and beat up people, attack people. Who was that comedian that got attacked by the father-son because he said that the father and son must be sleeping with each other? You really got to be careful what comes out of your mouth as a comedian these days. Stick to your storytelling, stick to making people laugh, and stop trying to always embarrass somebody with your commentary. So hats are off to Jess Hilarious for understanding that and respecting the boundaries that she crossed.
Armand, what do you think?
I think I agree with you 100%, Al. I thought that was really big of Jess. I thought it showed growth and maturity, and it showed just because you are a comedian, like, you don't have to hide under the guise of being a comedian. Some stuff is inappropriate, and some stuff is just not, you know, okay to say. And I think her taking responsibility of that shows a lot of growth. And this is, and because she's such a controversial person and a shock jock, when she does say those shocking things, you know, in the future, people will always be able to revert to some kindness and some accountability that she has taken on her end. So it will lessen the blow of other things that she say in the future. So it was really smart to me.
I think she was really sorry when she found out that he was sick. And I will say this, comedy has 1,000% changed. I mean, I used to work on a very, very famous and successful comedy show. There's an argument to be made that that show was the show, the blueprint for all the morning shows, like The Breakfast Club and the podcast that came out afterwards, the Foxhole with Jamie Foxx. And we were so edgy and reckless that we'd say anything. It was a different time then. And then we learn as we get older, or the longer we're in this business, you know, sometimes you're making fun of someone that you don't really know if they're going through something. I think a lot of people learn to kind of relax a little bit with the jokes with Chadwick. But, you know, on the other hand, comedy is definitely taking a hit, because it's people are going to have to find a different way to be funny. You know, a lot of comedy would come from making fun of people. You see them in the audience. Oh, this person's fat, or this one's so skinny, or this one's cross-eyed, or whatever, not knowing the story behind it. And it's just too risky now, because now you'll get canceled. KP Jones says, how is it mature when she and Charlamagne just had to apologize to the Risa Tisa chick? And Lisa Burgess said, Jess does too much. And Lil Lexi said, didn't she just say something about Risa Tisa? And Sports Report said, Jess is a mess. Katie Pop 3 said, glad Jess owned it. And I think she sounded very sincere when she said she felt bad about the way she thought about herself. And I thought that was deep. Keep it locked, because coming up next, we have an update on the tragedy that went down on the set of Rust. And later, Risa Tisa's ex-husband is on the internet defending his ways. Oh, we got to hear from him. We'll be right back. Welcome back. All right. I'm sure we all remember that terrible tragedy that took place on the set of Rust when the film's cinematographer was killed by a shot from a prop gun held by Alec Baldwin. Well, the 26-year-old armorer on set, Hannah Gutierrez Reed, has been found guilty of involuntary manslaughter. Now she faces up to 18 months in prison for the killing of the cinematographer, Helena Hutchins. Do you think this is a fair verdict, Al?
So help me understand, she is head of props, right? Okay, so she's responsible for not checking the gun that included, you know, that would call to discharge. So the person who actually used the gun is not charged.
Right. Because, well, when you're on set and you have a shooting scene, like the gun is already supposed to have gone through many hands and many checkpoints to make sure there's nothing that's supposed to check the chamber, that's supposed to shoot it, all of that kind of stuff. I've had to work with this before with firearms. When you get the gun as an actor, it's really not on you to have to check it. There's someone that's paid to actually be there, and it is their only job is to check the props. Their Got only it. Job. It's really wow. unfortunate because I don't think anyone meant for this to happen. I really don't. Right. You know, Armand,
but they're also saying that, you know, she should be held accountable because she wasn't responsible enough to be on set telling people, hey, you can't play with the guns that way. So if they're horse playing and, you know, roughhousing with guns and pointing them around, she should have been there throughout the whole process saying, hey, we don't do that. Keep the weapon down. This is the way that you do it. So she wasn't really doing her job to its fullest extent, you know, from checking the gun and also making sure that people weren't horse playing around with the weapons in there. So I feel like, you know, 18 months, she should probably get longer because somebody died and people's lives changed forever over her, you know, lousy mistake. So I believe that. And here's the thing. People can say after this happened, it's on the job, but I feel like certain jobs, certain career paths, you know, that if you make a mishap, then you're going to have to pay for it. So she should pay for that. She should pay for that with more time, in my opinion.
Like Robin Rich said she didn't check the gun and they said she was using drugs. I'm going to tell you this. If I was the actor that shot someone thinking I'm playing around or in a scene and I shot them and killed them, can you imagine how traumatizing that would be? Can you imagine like how difficult it would be for you to like move forward? I would never probably want to act again. Like and then the family of her, like you're on a movie set. Like it shouldn't even be any live ammunition in any guns. I don't even understand why it should be a prop gun. You know,
I also said she was on set passing around narcotics to people. Yeah,
she was getting
so it's her. Like she was getting high.
So who the hell hired her? Whose friend was she? T. Thomas said the situation is terrible all around. I'm still baffled at how a live round got in that gun. KP Jones said they're saying that she put the bullet in the gun. Wow.
Was it a bullet? I thought it was like a
shell. Usually like a shell.
Yeah, I thought it was a shell. I didn't think it was it's not a bullet, guys. It was like a shell. It was a discharge. Yeah.
But those things are really, they can still hurt you.
Yeah, they can still kill you.
You can get burnt in the face. That definitely doesn't happen. That definitely happens. Okay. Let's move on. Miami has had it with spring breakers tearing up their city every year. They are sick of it. Take a look at this public service announcement that the city put out.
Hey. We need to talk.
This isn't working anymore.
And it's not us. It's you. We just want different things.
You just want to get drunk in public and ignore laws.
This March, you can expect things like curfews, bag checks, and restricted beach access.
DUI checkpoints, $100 parking, and strong police enforcement for drug possession and violence.
Do you think this will stop fools from stop people from acting a fool for spring break, Armand? What do you think?
Absolutely. The $100 parking is a no for me. I don't want to go in the police checkpoints. All right. Definitely stop black people. We don't want to pay for parking and we definitely don't like police. So I feel like, you know, Miami ain't the place to go this spring break if you're trying to have a good time. That's for sure.
All right. Al, what do you think?
Well, you know, I kind of have an intimate experience with this. I lived in Miami Beach and I sat on the board for tourism for spring break because so much was happening so bad. There were deaths. There were record number of deaths with African Americans. There were record number of arrests against African Americans. They were stomping on roofs and crashing windshields. They were burning places. They were vandalizing things. And the question in all our town meetings was, what can we do about it? So they started to they thought a curfew would work. Curfew didn't work. They thought raising parking would work. That didn't work. So they start using using heavy-handed tactics in order to reduce death, crime, and arrests for the, you know, the disproportionate number of African Americans. And what would happen is they would be in there for days. So it was really, really kind of bad. So understanding the other side of this, I totally get it, because it never stopped. It just kept getting worse. And I sat on those boards in 2011, and we're now 13 years later, and the numbers are not doing anything but inflating. So they're gonna keep trying these tactics until they get those numbers down. And to be honest, in a way, if you guys see the numbers, you see the deaths, you see the arrests, you see the vandalism, you see the cost, you really do want it to stop, because a lot of horrible stuff happens during spring break, and especially when there's a lot of huge gathering of African-Americans on Miami Beach.
I have mixed feelings about this. If I'm a Miami resident, hell yeah, get them out of here. Don't let them come down. Then if I'm a person, the city probably is likes the money that it brings down. I'm going to say this. The one thing that's an issue, I wish the people that go to spring break could get it together, because that is such a tradition, a part of college. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like going down to Miami for spring break. Only thing that worries me is about this being a slippery slope, because you can use these same excuses to start targeting certain events you may not like Black gathering. Right. You know what I mean? With Virginia Beach and what Black Ski Weekend and what's next? You know what I mean? And that's what I worry about. And I really wish the people that go to Miami for spring break would have kept it together, so we don't have this, because this will set a precedence. Now, after this, we'll be like, oh, let's cancel any other big Black gatherings, you know, that we, and I'm
14th.
And I grew up with Freaknik and I loved it. It was so fun. And I can only imagine some white folks might not like it this time of year. That's why the Negroes come to our city. Mm. Let's just say we had so many issues last year. But on the flip side, I remember being in spring break 20 some years ago, and right in front of my hotel, someone got shot and murdered right there. Yeah. And I haven't gone back since for spring break. So it's like, unfortunate. Black Greek Week. Yeah, there's also that. So, yeah. All right. It's unfortunate that y'all heathens did not know how to behave, and now you're losing spring break. I'm glad I went when I went. All right. So coming up, Risa Tease's ex-husband is on the internet defending his ways. Keep it locked. Welcome back to the show. Hey, after Risa Tease's video series, Who the Bleep Did I Marry, went viral, her ex-husband is taking the stage to defend some of his actions. Her ex attempts to clear the air about why he never followed through on his offer to buy her a new BMW while they were married. Take a look.
You got to work for it. You know, I'm not going to just give you an $80,000 car because I'm your husband and you deserve it. I understand that part, but you got to learn the value of a buck. We just can't go out here all the time. You got to understand the value of something, and you don't want to work for it.
His chain is just giving me all kinds of struggle vibes. I cannot with that. What are your thoughts on this, Al?
Listen, it makes sense to me. Listen, his ex-wife just signed with the largest entertainment talent agency in the world. She got 400 million impressions from this video. The likes of Oprah signed to CAA, right? He should step in the chat. Maybe he can get a little flow overflow and get some of this action. Well, I will say this though, the more he talks, the more her stock is going to go down, right? Because the point of view was that she was used. And so the more he explains, the more her value of what her brand is and what she's explaining is going to go down. So she better hurry up, because, you know, it's only going to be a little time for her to take advantage of this virality.
Okay. Armand, what do you think?
I think that he should have probably tried to get with his own production company and try to find a way to combat this a little bit more polished and professional. I think him doing it like this is not going to end well for him. It's not going to make him any money, and people aren't going to take him seriously. He should have got quiet and got with a production company and did his own series.
That's good advice.
You know, he ain't worth a damn, because even his ex-wife, you know why? I don't know him, right? But even his family is saying he's a pathological liar. And usually, especially Black men, they finally be going to the grave. They be going, you know, hard for them and their sons, especially. And, you know, they can't do any wrong. But the ex, you know, his ex-wife and his own family says stay away from him, and he's a pathological liar. That's what Actress 29 Austin said. And Atlas Fountainhead said, oh my God, he is the big back. And Ansel D'Angelo said, I'm sorry, I feel bad. Risa went through this, but this man never was giving VP. He screams broke. I agree.
Yes, God.
I agree. But you know what? You believe things when you think you like someone. Like, unfortunately, we've all been suckers.
He seems like a fast talker. Go ahead.
He does. Yeah, he does. While accepting his African-American Film Critics Association Award, Jamie Foxx had some words to say about whether or not he's black enough.
That's Jamie.
All right, what do you have to say about this, Al?
Please don't have me say what I have to say. Oh gosh, I've always admired this man. I'm sorry, it was just corny and tacky to me. I didn't like it. It didn't make me laugh. Sorry. Let's go to Armand for better commentary than me.
I mean, what did you expect? I mean, they said, you know, you let a white, you know, that's shame. He didn't think he was going to get the award. I mean, but there's some truth to that, right? Because let's just be honest. You know, black people don't like to see, or black women don't like to see black men with white women a lot of the time. And so there's a stigma with that. And they feel as though, you know, if you see a black man with any other woman that's not black, then, it's, you know, you are not as black or you don't love your community. So he felt like he shouldn't have been, he may have not got the reward because, you know, he has that stigma around him that he likes white women. I mean, that's just what it is.
Okay.
I'm glad he's like leaning into it and just accepting it and claiming for what it is, because it's no secret that Jamie, you know, he definitely likes the ladies and he definitely has been seen with a white woman or two. So, I mean, he's a comedian, so you're supposed to make light of people, I guess, you know. I have always, you know, I used to tell him this when I used to work with him. Like, why can't I see you with, like, a Halle Berry or someone, like, on that caliber? And, like, it would be nice to see, he's such an accomplished and talented star. Like, I would love to see him with his equal. But a lot of times, men don't want to be with their equal like that. They want someone that doesn't really compete with their shine.
Well, so. And Katie Holmes is equal. She's just as successful. No,
I don't think so. Not
really?
You know, but a lot of times they see more value. Like, you know, when black men or, you know, they get money and success, they feel like a white woman adds to their social value, their social media, their social meter. So I don't know. It seems like to have a nice porcelain princess next to you, you know, along with your career, you've now made it. You are the American dream now.
I think this is trauma for him. You know, when he was younger and he lived in Chero, Texas, he definitely was made fun of by white people and they called him ugly and all that kind of stuff. And then when he got rich and successful, I kind of think you want the thing that didn't want you early on. I think that's a case with him. Curvy Jersey K says, what black woman did Jamie date? There's probably one out there. I want to thank my co-host Al Reynolds and Armand Wiggins for joining me tonight. Thanks for watching us on YouTube. Stay tuned for Paging Dr. Shonda. We'll see you back here tomorrow. Bye, boys. Bye, fellas. Bye, men.
All right, so mates, y'all have a good night.